time on the punchy side. So the thank heavens that we had quite a crowd on this support call last night with people across the U.S. in different time zones. But it was a good thing that we had this one woman from Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, and it was midday for her. So every once in a while she'd say, "Wait, what are you doing?" to keep us honest. Oh, I'm looking very red. Oh, yeah. Okay. So what I thought I'd bring in is really, and frankly, Mary, I know that we had talked about it, but last night I had forgotten until I was about ready to go to bed. And then it's like, oh, so I knew I was going to send some time and consider what to talk about, but then it came to me very easily. And I actually dreamt about it. So I've already given this little chat. So on Thursday, a few of us went and sat at the Dharma Rain temple here in town. So this is a Buddhist sangha that's made up primarily of Vietnamese folks and Vietnamese Buddhist practice. And it's really, to me, enlivening to go into another sangha, whether it's one of our sister sanghas, you know, to go sit down with the folks down in Pueblo, or a PZI, you know, sangha somewhere. So I used to travel quite a bit. And one of the things that I was able to do is to occasionally, when I had free time, which didn't happen that often, but to look up local sanghas and to go sit with them. So I was able to go sit with a Korean sangha in Las Vegas and fail miserably at Dharma combat in front of the whole sangha. But the, you know, and just see the variety of practice. But the teacher there, the Roshi was kind enough to allow me to have an interview with him, which was very good too. Or in Syracuse, New York, with a very formal Rinzai Sangha, and have work in the room with the first woman Rinzai Roshi in the U.S. And so here's this woman in her 80s with a shaven head and full robes, and having one-on-one work in the room essentially with her, and she was gorgeous. She's a wonderful person. A little intimidating at first, just because the setting was so different. But going to these different sanghas, then you know there's a saying that comes up every once in a while I can't read the words on a piece of paper, but I recognize the handwriting. And it's really true. So even at Syracuse, you know, all the chants were in Japanese. But boy, you knew when you were doing the Heart Sutra, you know, you knew when you were doing, you know, one of the other sutras that we know. And it's like this across the board, you know. So, you know, it was a little bit different being in Japan, Narita Airport. There's the town of Narita, just one train stop away, and I had a 9-hour layover. So I went over there and went to this Buddhist monastery temple and witnessed I think it's Tendai, but it's probably, I don't know if that's right, ceremony where, you know, they have this 10-foot drum in this big room, and, you know, you just feel, you can't even feel it when they hit it. It's beyond being able to describe it as feeling it. It's huge. And this fire ceremony, which is like, what's with this? But this is, it's still part of our, you know, how people have decided to do different Buddhist practices around the world. And so being able to slip into this this temple, you know, that we have here in town is, I think, a real blessing to be able to say, wow, this is just a different way to do a lot of things that we do. And yet there are differences. I mean, sometimes they're pretty significant. You know, some of them are trappings of culture, you know, whether it's integrating women into our practice and leadership, or even the real, you know, nuts and bolts of practice and how we go about things. And sometimes it's easy to say, to go to another sangha and say, oh, wow, look at what they're doing. We should do that. And sometimes it's a great idea. And other times I think it may be, I'm just trying to avoid something that we have in our practice that my ego is like, you know, I don't think I like that. So let's just replace that with something else. I think even, you know, I think it was a Suzuki Roshi maybe in San Francisco or someone else saying, we can institute changes, but, you know, let's think about it for 10 years and then see what happens. Or it might have been someone else, but, or sometimes, especially in our practice, it's like, well, those are maybe trappings of culture and tradition that don't make sense for us anymore. I do enjoy visiting these other sanghas. It kind of reminded me a little bit of when I was a kid. We used to go around the country, usually visiting family or camping. But if there was a little town nearby that had a Catholic church, boy, and it was Sunday morning, we went to Mass. And it was interesting because a similar experience. It was more alike than different, being a Catholic church in different places. But it was interesting to say that this is our practice too. But boy, you know, to step into like a Baptist church or something like that would be, it'd be a sin at the time. I don't know if it is now or not. Visiting sanghas is really interesting because on one hand, it's very humbling because you don't know the forms. You don't know the people. And, you know, so I just try to be as polite and delightfully as ignorant as I can and follow along. Like the Korean sangha, everyone wears these robes and there's like a certain way to tie the knot. And I'm like, can someone help me tie this knot? and you actually allow other people to enjoy their practice and help you. I just thought I'd just bring that in next time we have an invitation to go sit with Dharma Rain, I'd encourage more people to go and just wondering what other people, what your experiences are either with other sanghas or anything similar with, you know, visiting other groups, you know, things like that. So thank you.